Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Oh, there, Sparkle Farts, my trusty unicorn. I've got to tell these good people about our show. Hey there, I'm CJ, host of Beyond the Rainbow, True Crimes of the LGBTQ+. While I do have episodes on some of the more well-known cases from the LGBTQ community, such as Matthew Shepard, Brandon Tina, and the Orlando Pulse nightclub massacre, I cover world cases like the London nail bombing murders, Australia's Snowtown murders, in South Africa's corrective rape and murder of lesbians. I cover lesser known cases like the murder of 21-year-old trans man Alex Van Dalsen in Indiana. Police called his death a suicide. Spoiler alert, it wasn't. I tell you about wrongful conviction cases, serial killers, and school shooters. My unicorn and I cover all sorts of crimes against the LGBTQ and crimes by members of the LGBTQ. You don't have to be part of the community to listen. All walks of life are welcome to become Rainbow Warriors because you matter. And remember, it's not a crime to be gay, unless you're a murderer.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. On today's show, we got back-to-back episodes of England's most smartest and bravest and well-known detectives, Sexton Blake. Who'd you think I was talking about? For a character that was created back in the late 1800s and has thousands of stories written about him, it's no surprise that he also has a radio show. And this is Volume 2. If you enjoy it, please check out Volume 1 in the archives. Now, besides for that, next month will be the one-year anniversary of this podcast. And I thought a nice way to celebrate is to have a Q&A. So from now until June 1st, feel free to ask me questions, and I'll answer them on all 5 episodes of the first week of June. You can send questions through my email, mysteryfrequencypodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out through Twitter at mysteryfreak, F-R-E-Q, or Instagram at mysteryfrequency. You can also leave your questions in the comments below on Spotify. Speaking of Spotify, also be sure to check out the random polls that I have to get feedback from the show. And as always, please be sure to follow the podcast, review it if you can, and rate it, preferably 5 stars, but only if you enjoy the show. And with that, please enjoy Volume 2 of Sexton Blake.
Famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant tinker, and Heather Chasen as his secretary, Paula Dane, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart. Today's episode is called Bluebeard's Key.
I've thoroughly enjoyed the weekend, Colonel Armitage. I can't say I'm looking forward to going back to London.
Same here. The Nightingale doesn't sing in Berkeley Square anymore. Mm-hmm. Country looks at its best this time of the year, eh? Of course, you've had exceptionally good weather. I suppose you must go.
No, I'm afraid so.
There's nothing very important at the moment, Governor.
We can't leave Paula to cope all on her own for too long. Never know what's going to crop up.
Well, you needn't go until after lunch anyway. That gives you all the morning.
Post just come, Daddy. Here you are. And there's a parcel for Mr. Blake.
For me?
Only a small one.
Ah. This was posted here in the village.
You don't know anyone here except Colonel Armitage.
And me.
Well, that was supposed to include you, Mel.
Oh. I'd better see what it is. Ah, excuse me.
You must have got an unexpected fan, Mr. Blake.
I don't know who it can be. Well, what do you make of that?
A key?
How extraordinary. Why should anyone send you a key?
It's not a new key. Wait a minute, here's a message.
Does it say who sent it?
It simply says, this is Bluebeard's first key.
Well, when was it posted, Governor?
Yesterday. It's small enough to go in any postbox.
Oh, somebody knew you were staying with Colonel Armitage and thought they'd do a bit of leg pulling.
Let me look at that key. I thought so. This is the key to that woman's cottage.
Well, how on earth do you know that?
Do you see that file cut across the handle? See it?
Well?
Don't you remember, Daddy? That's about 5 years ago. The cottage was empty then. Tommy Pritchett pinched the key and we went exploring. It was Tommy who filed that cut. There was an awful row about
it. Oh, yes, I remember now.
Who is that woman?
Oh, Mrs. Seymour. Dreadful creature. The Stantons should have had more sense than to let the place to a woman like that.
What's wrong with her?
Oh, drinks like a fish, always giving parties. Long-haired men and queer-looking women. Oh, hell of a row they kick up. Goes on all night sometimes.
She really is the creep of creeps.
She must have taken a fancy to you, Governor, to send you the key of the door. Well, it's odd, isn't it? Where is this cottage?
At the end of Cherry Lane.
Oh, you're not thinking of going there, are
you? I'd just like to have a look round. How far is it?
Not very far, if we take the shortcut across the field.
Well, let's go then, shall we?
Is this just curiosity, Governor, or have you got something else in mind?
I don't altogether like the implication contained in that word Bluebeard, Tinker. It suggests some quite unpleasant possibilities.
Well, here we are. That's the cottage.
Ah. It's charming.
Oh, it's a nice little place. A bit isolated.
Doesn't seem to be anybody up. Windows all closed, curtains still drawn.
I shouldn't think Mrs. Seymour ever gets up before midday.
Sleeping it off, probably. Well, now you've seen the place, Blake, we may as well go back.
Just a minute.
Here, what are you going to do?
I'm curious to see this Mrs. Seymour.
Yes, but you can't.
Carly, you ought to know the governor by now, Colonel.
Well, you'll only get a stream of abuse.
Can you hear anything?
Yes, I can. Sounds like a radio.
That's what I thought.
What are we going to say when she comes?
Well, lucky if we get a chance to say anything. That woman will blast our pants off.
Do you think she's away?
She'd hardly go away and leave the radio.
She can't go on sleeping through that, surely.
I shouldn't think so.
Oh, she's not going to answer. Blake, you mustn't use that key.
Why not?
Supposing she is in bed and asleep.
Then we'll apologize.
The radio's coming from that room, over there.
I've forgotten to turn it off before she went to bed.
If she did go to bed.
Oh, let's get out of here before there's trouble.
Stay in the hall, Mel.
What's the matter, Governor?
Come here, Armitage.
What is it?
Is that Mrs. Seymour?
Yes. Yes, that's her. Oh, what's the matter with her? Is she tight?
She's dead.
Good God.
She's been stabbed. Tinker, go and get hold of a doctor and the police. Bluebeard seems to have lived up to his mythical reputation.
Never mind, Mr. Blake, that this is going to be a difficult business.
I agree with you, Inspector MacDonald.
We've been through the place with a fine tooth comb. There's nothing to tell us even a wee bit about her background. Not a letter, nor a scrap of anything. You'd think after living here for 8 months, there'd be something, wouldn't you?
You would indeed, Inspector. Also, from what I can gather, she wasn't the type of woman to live in the country from choice.
Ah, you're right. She called herself Mrs. Sylvia Seymour, but there's no evidence that that was her real name. Well, we shall publish a police photograph of the dead woman, asking for information. Maybe somebody will recognize it.
Can I come in, MacDonald?
Oh, aye, if you wish to, Robert. We'll be leaving just now.
I just heard about this terrible affair passing and saw your car outside.
This is Mr. Sexton Blake, Sir Robert Stanton. He let the cottage to Mrs. Seymour.
Good morning, Mr. Blake. Heard you were staying with Armitage. Shocking business, is it? Any idea who was responsible?
Oh, there's hardly been time, Sir Robert.
Well, you'll probably find it was one of those weird people she used to have down here, appalling lot.
This cottage is your property, then?
Yes.
I was wondering whether Mrs. Seymour supplied any particulars about herself, previous address, references.
Oh, can't say. I leave all that to my agent.
I'll have a word with him.
When was this woman killed? Last night?
Dr. Payne says she'd been dead for approximately 36 hours. That puts the time of murder at somewhere between 10 o'clock and midnight on Saturday.
Saturday?
You sound upset, Sir Robert.
Upset? Oh, why should I be upset? I thought of her lying here all that time, I suppose. Well, I must be off. Let me know if there are any developments.
Oh, I've no doubt you'll hear, sir. I'm glad to see that Mr. Richard's back home, though I didn't think he was looking too well.
Nonsense! My brother's in the best of health. Nothing wrong with him at all. Bye-bye, Mr. Blake.
Quite perturbed over this business, isn't he?
Aye. The woman was one of his tenants.
You think that was the reason? Tell me, where has Mr. Richard Stanton been?
Abroad, I believe. Been away quite a while. Is there anything more you'd like to do here?
No, thanks, Inspector. We'll be getting back to Colonel Armitage.
If you'll wait a wee while until my sergeant comes back, I'll give you a lift.
Oh, it's very kind of you, but we'll walk. It's not far.
You'll not be returning to London this afternoon, I take it, Mr.
No, in the circumstances, I don't think so. I'm very worried.
Why, Governor?
That message that came with the key was an obvious implication.
I don't quite understand.
If I sent you a box of cigars, Inspector, with a note stating this is the first box of cigars, what would you infer?
Well, that you were going to send another.
Well, I should have seen that. Bluebeard's first key.
That's why I'm worried. I'm afraid that there may well be another. Possibly more than one.
You don't often get a chance of having tea in the garden these days. You should have brought Betty with you, Ronnie. We see so little of her lately.
She's a bit off colour today. I didn't want to leave her, but she insisted that I should come along and pick up all the latest gin. Is he going out so little? She likes to know what's going on around the village.
What's the matter with your wife, Mr. Wilmot?
Sort of general debility. Perky enough sometimes, but she has bad headaches, kind of migraine. Difficult age, you know.
More tea, anybody?
Oh, please. Did you ever come in contact with Mrs. Seymour, Mr. Wilmot?
Me? Good Lord, no. Saw her once across the street. Even distance didn't lend enchantment, old boy.
She was probably quite attractive once.
How old was she?
Oh, at a rough guess, I should think between 40 and 45. Oh, thanks, Laura.
Pass Mr. Blake the sugar, Ronnie.
Oh, thanks.
I say, did you know that Richard Stanton's back?
Yes. I saw him the other day when I was out shopping.
You know, there is something the matter with him. I met him in the wood near our house. He looked terrible. Such a strange look about the eyes.
Touch of the Stanton malady, probably.
What's that, Colonel?
Bats in the belfry, old boy. Runs in the family, actually. Great-grandfather Stanton died as batty as a coot.
Is that true?
Oh, quite true. It's a taint in the blood. You'll find it sometimes in these very old families.
The Stantons go back a long way in history.
Oh, some of them are history. Won't be any left soon. There's only Sir Robert, Lady Stanton, and Richard.
Oh, I must be getting back to Betty. It's a pity I can't take her back any news. Still, thanks for the tea.
Tell Betty I'll pop along and see her soon.
She'll like that. Bye, all.
Bye.
Well, goodbye.
Bye. Bit of an ass, but a likable ass.
He seems quite a nice chap.
His wife adores him. He worships her, of course.
She's years older than he is, but it seems to have worked out. Hello. Here's Inspector MacDonald coming across the lawn.
Come and sit down, Inspector. You look hot.
Aye. Yes, I am a wee bit.
Would you like some tea?
I'll not trouble you, Miss Armitage. I've had no luck with Sir Robert's agent, Mr. Blake. The dead woman paid a year's rent in advance in view of references. Said she'd just come from abroad and knew nobody in England.
She seems to have taken care to cover her tracks.
The most important thing, in my opinion, Mr. Blake, is why that type of woman should come to live in a place like this.
I couldn't agree with you more.
You mind that she intended to stay? Well, she wouldn't have paid for so long in advance. Now, was she hiding from someone, or did she come to find somebody?
Well, who would a woman like that expect to find in a small community like this? Or it's much more likely she was hiding from someone.
I think you're wrong, Armitage. It strikes me as much more probable that she came here because there was someone she knew who was already living here.
Blackmail, perhaps.
It seems not unlikely, Inspector.
Oh, I suppose it is possible, Blake. I can't imagine anywhere around here.
What about the Stanton?
Oh, you can't be serious.
Oh, why not? They're rich. Sir Robert seemed unduly interested when we saw him this morning. Not quite in character, I thought. And he's in a highly nervous condition.
Aye. Yes, it struck me at the time that he appeared a wee bit worried.
I can't see Sir Robert Stanton sticking a knife into anybody.
Unlikely people are capable of the most unlikely actions, given sufficient incentive.
But why send that key?
And then what you said this morning, Mr. Blake, about the key.
We're doing too much guessing, Inspector. We need more facts to work on.
The
dead woman called herself Mrs. Seymour. If it was her real name, I doubt it, but it might be. My assistant Tinker may have something to tell us when he gets back from London.
He'll be making inquiries at Somerset House, you mean?
Yes, he'll probably draw a blank, but it's worth trying. Mrs. Seymour suggests a husband. If she did have a husband, I'd like to know where he is now.
I believe it's just an excuse to spend a few more days in the country.
You'd better tell the governor that, Paula.
A fat lot of good it'd do if I did.
Well, you are in a bad temper, aren't you?
No. I'm just fed up. This is the first decent weather we've had for ages, and I'm cooped up here trying to cope with a lot of damn routine stuff while you and Mr. Blake enjoy yourselves in the country.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
You don't have to. I've just said it.
Listen, Paula, I haven't got much time. I've got to get back.
Well, why bother to come at all?
The governor wants some inquiries made.
Well, get busy and make them.
All right. I'll tell him you're not interested.
Oh, don't you dare. Well, what is it he wants?
Here's a police photograph of the dead woman. There are a lot of long-haired weirdies at her parties. Get some copies of the photo made and get Nichols and Didcot to try to Chelsea pubs and clubs.
And see if anyone knows her. What's her name? Mrs. Seymour?
Mrs. Sylvia Seymour. But it may not be her real name.
All right, I'll attend to it.
Tell you what, Paula. If you get hold of anything, why not come down and report personally?
I might do that. Bikini and all. Oh! Mr. Blake, here's another little packet.
I expected it, but not so soon.
Do you mean another key?
I'm afraid so.
It must have been posted yesterday. You got here the first post this morning.
It was. 4:30 collection.
That's our last collection.
It's a Yale key, a nearly new one. This is Bluebeard's second key.
Is that what the message says, Gov?
Yes.
Well, it can't mean another murder.
I think it does.
Who?
There's no means of identifying this key, is there? I mean, you were able to tell us about the other mole because of that cut.
No.
There must be dozens of Yale keys.
Exactly. Now, how are we going to find out which lock this fits?
I'll go.
Oh, this is terrible, Blake.
This is Merle Armitage. Yes, hold on, will you? Mr. Blake, it's Inspector MacDonald.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Inspector. Where? I see. Yes. Miss Cheeseman. I'll be there as quickly as I can.
Miss Cheeseman?
Yes, do you know her?
She's the new district nurse. She only came a fortnight ago.
She's been stabbed.
Oh.
In her bed. Come along, Tinker.
We've got to step on it. She was killed around 11 o'clock last night, and the doctor can't be certain within an hour or two.
Then the murderer posted the key before the murder.
Aye. I mind you were right about that key, Mr. Blake. Can't make any sense of it.
Bluebeard must have had the key in his possession in the afternoon. The last collection is at 4:30.
Spare key. Her own still in her handbag. Poor woman. She'd not been here over a fortnight.
Where did she come from?
Egglesfield. Before that, she was in London, in a WVS during the war. I got all that from Dr. Payne. He made the discovery. She failed to turn up for a confinement early this morning, and he came to see why.
Quite a different type of woman from the other, Inspector.
Aye. Your assistant had no luck in London, I gather, Mr. Blake.
No, it was a very faint hope.
Maybe it doesn't matter. I'm thinking that we may have a lunatic to deal with.
Could be. Unless we can discover a logical reason.
Can you suggest one?
No, for the moment, I'm afraid I can't.
Are you going to see Miss Cheeseman's sister, Inspector? She's very upset.
It's not surprising. Mrs. Hunter came down from London this morning to stay with her sister for a few days, didn't she? Well, it must have been a nasty shock.
I thought it would be better to leave her on her own for a wee while to get over it.
Let's go down and see her, shall we?
She's in the kitchen. I've made her some tea.
Aye, I was thoughtful of you, Tinker.
Oh, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, Mrs. Hunter.
Oh, that's all right. I'm still a bit dazed from the shock. It doesn't seem possible that such a thing could have happened to Glad. She was always so bright and jolly. I only had a letter from her last week. Was full of her new job and how she was settling in. She'd seen somebody she thought she knew, too.
Here in the village?
Yes.
I haven't got a letter here, but it was the woman in the bomb flats during the war.
Please tell us about it, Mrs. Hunter.
It was one of those doodle bugs. Fell on some flats in Kensington. Glad was in the WBS, you see.
Yes, we knew that. Please go on.
Well, this woman and her husband were in one of the damaged flats. Glad helped to pull them out. Oh, they were a bit scratched and bruised, but they weren't much hurt.
Your sister thought she saw this woman here in the village.
Yes. She said she was sure it was the same woman.
The war's been over quite a while, Mrs. Hunter. Your sister could have been mistaken.
Oh, Glad never made mistakes like that. She had a wonderful memory for faces. She often talked about that woman and her husband. It stuck in her mind.
Did your sister mention the name of this woman?
I don't think she knew it. Oh, she did. She'd forgotten. It was faces that was Glad's strong point.
Well, what will you be doing now? Will you be returning to your own home?
I thought of staying here until after the funeral, unless there's any...
Oh, we'd have no objection. Can I have a word with you, Mr. Blake?
Yes, of course. Will you be all right, Mrs. Hunter?
Oh, yes, I'll be all right. Thank you.
There'll be a constable on duty if there's anything you might be wanting. Come along, Mr. Blake. If Mrs. Seymour was the woman in the bombed flats incident...
She'd be the right age. Even after all this time, it should be possible to get hold of a list of the people who were living in those flats then.
Well, you don't know which flats, do you, Governor?
That shouldn't be difficult. It was a doodle bug that fell on them. Would you like me to get in touch with Chief Inspector Coots at Scotland Yard, Inspector? He'd have inquiries made.
Oh, I'd be much obliged. It'll be quicker than going through the usual official channels. And meanwhile, I've a mind to call on Sir Robert Stanton. Maybe you'd like to come, too.
I would. I should like to know a bit more about his brother, Richard.
Terrible, really terrible. I can't tell you how shocked I am. She was stabbed, you say, like the other woman?
Aye. The same knife was used by the appearance of the wound.
I can't understand it. Why should anyone want to kill this poor woman?
Or the other, Sir Robert.
Why have you come to me, Inspector? I'm interested, naturally, but...
I should like, if possible, to have a word with your brother, Sir Robert.
My brother? I can assure you that he can't help
Maybe
me.
Not, sir, but I'd like to see him, all the same.
I'm afraid you can't.
Why not, Sir Robert?
I don't see any point in disturbing him.
I understand that he's only recently returned from abroad.
That's correct. Why these questions?
Because I think that you're concealing something, Sir Robert.
That is an outrageous accusation. I know you have a very high reputation, Mr. Blake, but that doesn't
work. I apologize for speaking plainly, but we're dealing with murder, Sir Robert. Where was your brother while he was away?
I cannot see that this is any business of yours.
It would save a great deal of trouble and unpleasantness if you'd tell us the truth, Sir Robert.
I've nothing more to say.
It won't be difficult, you know, to find out the name of the clinic.
Clinic? I don't know what you...
Your brother has been in a clinic for the mentally ill. Isn't that what you're trying to hide?
I refuse to be in... Oh, what's the use? Yes, you're quite right. Richard has been in a clinic for treatment. He developed signs some years ago, blackouts, fits of rage.
I'm very sorry, Sir Robert. Why did he come back home?
Well, they said he was completely cured, normal.
Yet should have told us before.
Yes, I was afraid. I didn't know what to do.
I shall have to see your brother, Sir Robert.
You can't. I don't know where he is.
You mean he's out somewhere?
He went out last night. I haven't seen him since.
Well, Governor, the postmistress has agreed to play ball. What do we do now?
Nothing much we can do until we hear from Coots or Paula. May as well walk back to the Armitages and relax.
What do you think's happened to Richard Stanton?
I'm a bit worried about him, Tinker. If Donald's men are searching the district, I sincerely hope they find him.
Hi there!
Oh, it's Wilmot.
I caught sight of you way back down the street. I say, rumors are humming about like swarms of demented bees. What's all this about Richard Stanton?
What about him?
Well, they say he's done in the district nurse and vamoosed. Skedaddled. Bunked.
I got your meaning the first time. I shouldn't believe everything you hear, Mr. Wilmot.
Oh, it isn't true, then. Oh, I was hoping I'd have a nice juicy tidbit to amuse Betty with during dinner.
And try a funny story instead.
No, I'm afraid they don't go down too well with Betty. She hasn't got that kind of humor.
Perhaps you've yet to find the right story.
And the trouble is, I can't remember them, old boy. Always make a mess of the payoff. So, no new developments, eh?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, well, I'd better toddle along home. Go to have an early night. Got to dither up to London tomorrow, take up some documents for Betty to her solicitor. Oh, I hate London, particularly in this weather. Oh, well, cheerio.
Goodbye, Wilmot.
You were a bit short with him, Governor.
It gets on your nerves just a little. Let's cut through here. It'll take us up to that gate at the end of the lawn.
You don't think Richard Stanton killed these women, do you?
I'm not entirely convinced.
Well, because of the keys?
Partly, yes. Mainly because you can't have a logical action and an illogical one at the same time. Now, here we are.
I wish you'd explain what you mean.
The keys were sent to me, Tinker. That's Paula over there. What's brought her down here?
Good evening, Mr. Blake.
Well, when did you arrive?
About 10 minutes ago. I've got some important information. I thought I'd better come and tell you.
Oh, telephone's suddenly gone out of fashion? Go on.
Well, Nichols was lucky with that photograph. He found a weirdie in a pub in Chelsea who recognized it.
As whom?
Sylvia Seymour. Under the influence of several vodkas, on the expense account, by the way, Horace Plush more or less sobbed out his story.
Was that really his name?
Well, I suppose so. Nobody admit to a name like that unless they had to. Anyway, he'd been down to one of these parties. There was tons of drink about, and he asked Mrs. Seymour where she got all her money from. She'd had a few and was on the way to getting thoroughly sloshed, so she laughed, pulled back the carpet, and waved a folded paper at them. That's worth a lot of money to me, she said. It's going to be worth even more one of these days.
You're sure she said that?
Well, so Nichols says. I've got his written report in my handbag.
Had this man, Plush, any idea what the paper was?
Only that it looked like a certificate of some kind.
I see. There was no message from Inspector Coots before you left. No, there'd hardly be time.
I left the telephone number here. He'll contact you direct. Colonel Armitage has asked me to stay until tomorrow.
Oh, I suppose since you're here, you may as well.
Well, how could I refuse such a pressing invitation?
Did you bring a bikini with you, Paula?
Oh, she won't need one. The weather's not going to last. In my opinion, it's working up for a storm.
It would.
There's no sign of him at all, Mr. Blake. My men searched all day yesterday and again today. They're still searching. Richard Stanton's either left the district or he's hiding up somewhere. It's nearly 3 o'clock now. He's been missing since 9, the night before last.
It's very worrying. I sincerely hope you'll find him.
I'm thinking maybe that Sir Robert might know more than he's told us.
I doubt it, Inspector. Oh, I have some news for you. Chief Inspector Coots came through on the phone not long before you arrived.
Aye.
We've got all the dope on the Seymour woman.
Oh, you have? Oh, that's fine.
Her real name was Dorothy Hemming. She was married to a man in the pay corps. They'd been married about 18 months when the doodlebug fell. The husband's name was James Hemming. The man Coots put on to make the inquiry found a small tobacconist shop where the Hemmings used to buy cigarettes. It was only regular customers who could get any then.
Yes.
The owner of the shop's still there. He recognized the woman's photograph.
And what happened to the husband? You've not been able to get any information about him.
He's our Bluebeard, Inspector.
Ah. What about Richard Stanton?
He fits into it perfectly.
You're not suggesting that he's Hemming.
Richard Stanton was responsible for Bluebeard.
And you think...
The scheme actually started with the arrival of Miss Cheeseman as the new district nurse. Bluebeard had to move fast. She might recognize him at any moment as the husband of the woman in the doodlebug incident.
Dorothy Hemming, otherwise Mrs. Seymour.
That's right. Mm. Bluebeard decided to kill two birds with one stone. His wife first.
But what was the motive? Why should it matter if Miss Cheeseman recognized him as Hemming?
If you trouble to think for a moment, Inspector, you can answer that question for yourself.
You mean that Hemming was not his real name? That his wife had discovered who he really was?
His wife had certainly discovered who he was, but...
Mr. Blake, they've just sent this up from the post office. It's another little packet.
Bluebeard. But there's no delivery in the afternoon.
I arranged with the postmistress yesterday that if there was a packet addressed to me in the collection, send it up at once. Here we are. Look at this. This is Bluebeard's third key.
Are you saying that this means another murder?
That's what he's contemplating. But we're ahead of him this time. He wasn't expecting me to get this until tomorrow morning.
What key is it? Do you know?
That's going to be the difficulty.
Aye, and a big one. We can't go trying every lock until we find the right one. It'd give away to the murderer the fact that we'd already got the key.
And certainly it would. The time element is against us. If this key was intended to reach me by the first post in the morning, the murder must be planned for some time tonight.
What can you do? You must do something.
This is not a Yale. It's an old key.
I'm thinking it's like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Not quite so bad as that. I have an idea where this key could belong. Merle, would you go and send Paula to me?
Yes.
MacDonald, I want to work this out. Will you meet me here at 10 o'clock tonight?
Aye, I'll do that. But you have a great responsibility. Will you not tell me who you think this key belongs to?
Not now. When I do tell you, it'll be a certainty.
Well, if you don't tell me, I've got to take a chance on your being right. But I'm not too happy about it.
Neither am I, Inspector. But I've got to make sure I don't be wrong.
There are no lights in the house.
There shouldn't be. I'd be very uneasy if there were.
You're quite certain?
Quite. Tinker should be here somewhere.
That you, Governor?
Yes.
All quiet.
We may have a long wait. There's no telling when he'll come.
As soon as he enters the house, we follow.
Yes. We've got the key.
He's coming now. Listen.
Get ready. Once he's in the house, we mustn't give him any time.
Quick, and be careful. He's going up the stairs. He's gone in the bedroom. Quickly. Now, by the mother, God, have his wrist, finger.
All right.
All right. I got him.
Not so talkative now, eh, Mr. Wilmot? Now we'll go and find Richard Stanton.
Wilmot slept through it all.
He left the tablets by the bedside for her, including an extra strong one.
But why did he want to kill her, Blake? They always seemed so happy.
I think he was fed up, Colonel. She was a semi-invalid and very much older than he was. And she left him all her money. You see now why his wife, his real wife, had such a hold over him. He committed bigamy when he married Betty.
He only did 2 years ago. He'd only been here 3 months before they were married.
Well, he had charm, you know. All the women liked him. What was the idea of kidnapping Richard Stanton and keeping him hidden in the shed in the house, Governor?
If Richard Stanton had been found in a semi-conscious condition at the foot of the stairs and Betty Wilmot stabbed in her bed, what would have been the general opinion? Even if Stanton had accused Wilmot of keeping him prisoner, nobody would have believed him.
But why the keys?
To make people think it was the work of a lunatic. It tied up with Stanton. Sending him to me was an afterthought when he heard I was here. Wilmot was an opportunist.
I suppose he deserted his real wife.
Oh, a long time ago, I should imagine. But she found him and made him pay.
With Betty's money. He never had any of his own.
Betty was a very rich woman, you know. How were you so certain that the key belonged to the Wilmot's house?
That was me. I sneaked up and tried it in the lock.
Paula took the opportunity when Wilmot had gone up to London. He told us he was going. But he only went as far as Egglesfield. He altered his appearance with a wig and a moustache and came back.
I was wondering how he managed to post that key without being recognized.
He kept well away from his house, probably stayed in the woods. He ditched his disguise when we caught him.
I came in to tell you I'm off to catch the train back to London.
Now, why don't you all stay for a day or two longer? The well is fine after the storm. The all good.
That's not a bad idea. But I didn't think Paula's brought a suitcase.
I didn't. But I have a toothbrush and a bikini in my handbag. And in weather like this, what more does a girl need?
That story in our Sexton Blake series was called Bluebeard's Keys and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin played Sexton Blake, David Gregory, Tinker, and Heather Chasen, Paula. Colonel Armitage was played by Lockwood West. Merle Armitage was Beth Boyd. Inspector MacDonald, Geoffrey Matthews. Sir Robert Stanton, Ralph Lefevre. Ronald Wilmot, Ian Thompson. And Emily Hunter was played by Anna Burton. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alastair Scott Johnston.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
The history of crime detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant tinker, and Heather Chasen as his secretary, Paula Dane, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart. Today's episode is called The Vampire Move.
Wonderful, Mr. Blake. I adore Chinese food.
The amazing thing to me is where you put all this food.
It's consumed by the amount of energy I have to put into my job.
That's debatable, but I might argue.
You needn't be so smug. You ate just as much as I did.
I don't have to consider my figure.
And what's wrong with my figure?
Just a slight suspicion of a midriff bulge, perhaps.
What? There is not.
I'm only pulling a leg, Paula. We'd better be getting back to Berkeley Square. I'll get the bill.
Who's that man over there?
Where?
By that pillar, just about to light a cigarette.
I don't know. I've never seen him before. Why?
But he keeps looking over here, as if he knew you.
You're probably the attraction.
No. He's getting up. I believe he's coming over.
Looks as if you're right.
What's the matter with him? Is he drunk?
He's either drunk or ill. Oh. God, he's really in a bad way. Stay there, Paula. Oh. Take it easy, old man. Here, let me help you out.
I can't do any good. It's the vampire moon. Got to tell.
What has happened, please? A poor gentleman is ill.
Are you the manager?
Yes, I am the proprietor, the Lai Cheng Yi.
Tell these people to keep back.
Keep back, please. There has been illness.
Mr. Blake, was it a heart attack?
I don't think so.
Is he very bad?
He's dead.
What? You must make mistake.
Not this sort of mistake. Get a doctor as quickly as possible. While you're about it, the police.
The police?
Yes. This man was poisoned.
You're absolutely certain it was poisoned, Blake?
There's not the slightest doubt, Sir Francis. My secretary picked up the cigarette he was smoking when he fell. We analyzed it in the lab.
And what was the poison?
Preparation of pure nicotine, quick and deadly.
You didn't know David Grant, did you?
No. I gather, Sir Francis, he was one of your boys in intelligence.
Quite the most brilliant. That's why I'm here, Blake. I want you to take over.
Oh, now, just a minute. Take over what?
Whatever it was that Grant was up to.
Don't you know?
It sounds silly, doesn't it? You'd understand better if you'd known Grant. He broke all the rules, but he got results.
A lone wolf, eh?
Very much so. He hated turning in reports. What he liked was to present the job complete, all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted.
I'd think I'd have gone on rather well with him. Anyway, you haven't any idea what he was doing.
I'll tell you all I know, but it's precious little. He came in to see me one day about 2 months ago. He'd just come back from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong?
And he's murdered in a Chinese restaurant. Yes, there may be something in that. He asked me to give him a kind of roving commission. He said he was on to something very big. He said that for over a year he'd been picking up a whisper here and a rumor there, and now the thing was beginning to gel.
He didn't give you any hint as to what this thing was?
I asked him point blank, naturally, but he wouldn't tell me. If it had been anybody else, I'd have refused, but I knew my Grant. So I agreed to what he asked.
And?
I neither saw nor heard from him again until I was told of his death.
Those last few words of his, the vampire moon, do they ring any bell?
No, nothing at all.
He made a tremendous effort to get the words out at all. They meant something to him. Something of supreme importance.
Yes, I think so too. Blake, will you find out what Grant was working on?
That's a bit of a tall order, Sir Francis.
You can have all the help we can give you.
Which doesn't really amount to much at the moment, does it? You can't even tell me where Grant was during those 2 months.
Oh, I know the difficulty. That's why I've come to you.
There's flattery and flattery. What was the assignment in Hong Kong?
Well, you've heard of the Triad Societies of China?
Yes, founded in the 17th century and still very much in existence. In many ways, the Triad Societies are rather like the Mafia, aren't they?
Yes. Well, one of these societies was operating in Hong Kong. It was responsible for the trouble there, and Grant's job was to ferret out the leaders.
He succeeded?
Yes. As a result, we were able to put a stop to many of their activities. But I don't think this was the big thing he'd stumbled on.
If only we knew what he meant by the vampire moon.
Will you take on the job of finding out?
I'll do what I can.
Let me have all the dope you've got on Grant, will you? Where he lived, a list of his friends, everything you can rake up.
I'll send it round by special messenger. You'll let me know if you get onto anything.
Only if it's something definite. Goodbye, Sir Francis. You can rely on me to do my best.
Thanks, Blake. I'm very grateful. Goodbye. And don't forget, anything you want, let me know.
Paula, when you see Sir Francis, how would you come in?
Yes, Mr. Blake.
This is Sexton Blake speaking. Charlie? Charlie Quee. Long time no see. How's that den of iniquity going? Yes, those days are over, aren't they? I want to see you, Charlie. Yes, I know. That'll do fine. I'll be there.
Well, are we working for British intelligence?
Apparently. We're going to have a shot at discovering what Grant meant by the vampire moon. Paula, Grant lit that cigarette just before he got up to come over to our table, didn't he?
Yes, he opened a new packet.
You're quite sure it was a new packet?
Oh, quite. I was watching him because he kept looking over at our table.
Can you remember if he left the cigarettes on the table?
Yes, he did. He left the packet beside his plate.
Well, it wasn't there after he died. I looked.
Well, somebody in the restaurant must have picked it up.
I'm sure they did, and somebody who knew what they were about. That cigarette wasn't the only one in the packet loaded with pure nicotine. You can bet your last pair of nylons on that.
Why was he coming over to see you, Mr. Blake?
I think he knew he was in danger.
In a public restaurant like the Golden Lotus.
Well, he was right, wasn't he? There's a strong smell of justice about this, Paula. That's why Charlie Quee may be useful.
He's a new one on me.
Well, he runs a kind of discotheque near the river at Rotherhithe. And he's an authority on China, the secret inner China that few people know anything about. How he gets his information, I have no idea. Even if he knows anything about this business, he may refuse to talk.
We have always been good friends, Mr. Blake. We do not meet much, but we stay very good friends a long time.
Quite a while now, isn't it, Charlie?
I help you sometimes, you help me sometimes, huh?
That's right.
But this that you tell me, I cannot help you.
Meaning cannot or will not?
What are words? Sometimes they mean what you wish them to mean. Is that not so, Mr. Blake?
Well, at least you told me one thing, Charlie. Whatever David Grant stumbled on is of Chinese origin.
Perhaps you endow me with knowledge of which I am ignorant.
I doubt it. You've always been a bit of a dark horse, Charlie, university education, and yet you settled down on a joint like this.
It has been said that a wise man carries his own surroundings in his mind.
What else do you carry there? The secret of the vampire moon?
If you would be a wise man, Mr. Blake, you will forget that you ever had any mention of the vampire moon.
We're getting somewhere, aren't we? You do know what Grant meant by the vampire move.
Mr. Grant was perhaps a foolish man.
There's nothing foolish in being murdered, Charlie.
There is more wisdom in remaining alive.
Do you know the Golden Lotus?
I have been there, yes.
Do you know Lai Chen Yi?
Yes, I know Mr. Lai Chen Yi. He is the proprietor of the Golden Lotus.
Listen, Charlie, I came to see you tonight because in the past you've always been helpful. Now stop hedging and come clean.
China is vast and inscrutable. Does anyone know what goes on inside? The communist government exercises a stranglehold on the Chinese people.
You don't like the present regime.
Does the fact that I am entitled to wear the red coral ball answer your question?
It answers, too, that Charlie Quee is not your real name, and that the vampire moon has nothing to do with communist China.
I do not try to answer any more, Mr. Blake. In friendship, I offer you this advice. Do not go further in this matter. There is much danger for you. If you are wise, you will heed what I say.
A threat?
A warning.
Keep out of our back garden, eh? Can't be done, Charlie.
It is regrettable. But perhaps Mr. Lai Chen Yi can persuade you it would be considerably wiser.
Paula, you got any message from the governor?
Isn't he in?
He hasn't been home all night. I didn't get back until quite late.
He was going to Rotherhithe.
Rotherhithe?
To see somebody called Charlie Quee.
Oh, I've heard the governor mention him.
Well, that's where he was going. Quee runs a discotheque.
Oh, to do with his Grant case, I suppose.
Yes. You played back the tape recording of the interview with Sir Francis Mills, did you?
As soon as I came in. It's a good idea the governor's recording all the interviews. It saves a lot of time explaining.
I hope Mr. Blake's all right. He nearly always gets a message back if he's held up or going anywhere.
If he was onto something, he might not have had time. I don't want to start anything that might muck up what he's trying to do.
I hate these jobs for Sir Francis. They're tricky and dangerous. I saw what happened to that man Grant.
Ah, the governor can take care of himself.
There's always a first time. Mr. Sexton Blake's resident... Oh, it's you, Mr. Blake. Well, yes, we were a bit. Oh, I see. You don't know when. I'll tell him. All right. Goodbye. You're to cancel the appointment with the assistant commissioner.
That's the danger code.
I know. It means he's in trouble.
What else did he say?
That he was following up a line and didn't know when he'd be back. That was for the benefit of whoever was with him. The last bit was the real message.
I'll go along to this place of Quees. Perhaps I can pick up something there.
Well, we don't even know if he got there, do we?
Well, it makes a kick-off anyway.
Well, I'm going to have lunch at the Golden Lotus.
How can you think of food when the governor...
Oh, don't be so silly. That's where Grant was murdered, wasn't it?
Lai Chen Yi, of course.
If Lai Chen Yi knows anything, I shall stick to him like...
Don't say grim death, Paul. It could be bad luck.
Good morning, Mr. Blake. I trust that you feel no ill effects from the injection.
I have felt better.
Any slight nausea will soon pass away. Lai Chen Yi is not used to the syringe.
He prefers poison cigarettes, no doubt. Who are you?
I am Dr. Ho Tsing Chung. I would have introduced myself last night, but you are in no condition. A fact which I regret.
Is that a water mill I can hear?
Yes. This is a mill house. We are in the heart of the English countryside.
How delightful. You're going to keep me here, trussed up like a chicken for long.
You should be thankful, Mr. Blake. It was only at the expressed wish of Charlie Quee that you are still alive.
He's very thoughtful. What happens next?
For the present, you will remain as you are.
Nobody's going to miss me, of course.
That has been foreseen. Shortly, you will telephone your secretary. You will say what you are told.
Supposing I say what I like.
It would be regrettable if the wish of Charlie Quee could not be granted.
I agree with you there. Perhaps you'll tell me why I've been brought here at all.
You might endanger a project that is nearing completion.
The Vampire Moon.
Exactly, Mr. Blake. The Vampire Moon.
All very hush-hush and top secret, even to the Chinese government.
It is known only to the Brotherhood of the Red Coral Ball.
Which denotes the rank of Mandarin. Yes, I'm beginning to get a vague idea of what you're aiming at.
China is the oldest civilization to have survived into this day and age, Mr. Blake, on its classical foundations. For 16 years, it has been ruled by a communist government. The rule of emperors lasted for over 2,000 years.
And you believe it's time they had another go, eh?
As a beginning. Only as a beginning. No, but it is time for you to telephone. Send Fu. Bring the telephone and plug it in.
How does the Vampire Moon come into it?
That you'll know very soon, Mr. Blake. In spite of our friend Quee, I regret you will have to die.
I see you are a realist, Dr. Sing Chung.
The Vampire Moon shall claim its first victim. You, Mr. Blake.
Mr. Sexton Blake's residence. This is Paula Dane. Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm out of breath. I heard the phone ringing as I came out of the lift and I ran for it. Oh, yes. Look, Nichols, do you know the Golden Lotus restaurant? That's right. The proprietor's a Chinaman called Lai Chen Yi. Middle-aged, thin, dresses immaculately, striped trousers a lot, you know, typical city gent. I want a watch kept on him, day and night. I want to know where he goes, who he sees, all about him. Got that? Yes. Report to Berkeley Square. Right. And thanks.
Any luck, Paula?
No, I've only just got back. That was Nichols on the phone. I've arranged for him to tail Lai Chen Yi day and night. Well, how did you get on?
I saw Charlie Quee. He says that the governor never turned up last night.
That could be true. They could have got Mr. Blake on the way to Rotherhithe.
How did they know where he was going? I don't trust that chap Quee.
Did Mr. Blake take the car?
No. Probably thought he'd be a bit conspicuous in that district. Look here, Paula. There's a whole bunch of stuff come round from Sir Francis Mills on Grant. Do you think there's anything in that that could help?
Well, let's have a look at it. We can't do anything else for the moment.
Here it is, in this file.
This is a sort of security check-up on him. Almost a life history.
He had a flat in Kensington. Would that be any good?
Intelligence people went through that with a microscope. They wouldn't have missed anything important.
He doesn't seem to have many friends, not the James Bond type. Here's his passport. He hasn't been out of England for over 2 months.
That indicates this vampire moon business is centered in this country. Hello? Grant had a girlfriend.
Well, let me see. Jill Conway, 16 Albany Mansions, Kensington. Now, she might be worth a visit. Grant could have dropped her some hint on what he was onto.
Oh, I doubt it. But I suppose it's worth trying. Bank statement, oh, that's no good to us. Well, that's about all.
The only thing possible out of this lot is the girlfriend. I'll go round and see Jill Conway. Now, keep your fingers crossed.
I wish I could help you, Mr. Tinker, but David never talked about his work. I always thought he was a journalist. I had no idea that...
I'm sorry to have to bother you just now, Miss Conway.
It's all right. I don't mind.
When did you last see him, Miss Conway?
4 days ago. He rang and asked me if I'd like to go out to dinner. And he took me to that place where it happened.
The Golden Lotus?
Yes. He apologized for taking me there because he knew I wasn't very fond of Chinese food.
Did he give you any reason for taking you there if he knew you didn't like Chinese food?
Well, he said it was something to do with an article he was writing. That was the last time I saw him.
Can you remember what you talked about?
He was in very good form, laughing and joking. And I was glad because for a long time, whenever I'd seen him, he'd been sort of not there, if you know what I mean.
As if he had something on his mind?
Yes.
Did he say anything? Anything about the Golden Lotus or the owner, Lai Chen Yi? It might not even seem important to you.
No, nothing. Oh, he made a joke about a stout elderly Chinaman at one of the tables.
What did he say?
Well, something about, you'd never think he'd be fond of flowers, would you? And he laughed, and I said I didn't think it was very funny. And David said, you would if you knew the sort of flowers I mean.
He knew this man?
They didn't seem to. They scarcely even looked at each other.
What was he like, the stout Chinaman?
I didn't take much notice of him. Oh, he had very thick spectacles. That's really all I remember.
I wonder what that joke was about the flowers.
David was like that. He'd often say things that you couldn't see any point to. We were going down to the country this weekend.
Where?
I don't know. He was going to pick me up here.
Please don't cry.
I'm awfully sorry. I'm sorry. You better go.
I left her sobbing her eye out, poor kid. It doesn't seem to have got us very far, Paula.
Well, we didn't know about the stout Chinaman before, did we? Well, that's something. Now, what could Grant have meant about the flowers?
She said he was often coming out with things like that, with no point to him.
They may not have had any point for her. They probably did for him.
It's all very well talking. It's not getting us any nearer finding a governor.
Oh, don't you think I'm worried too?
Sorry, Paula.
No, it's my fault. I shouldn't have been so snappy. Now, listen. They were going down to the country for the weekend, you said. Grant was joking about this Chinaman being fond of flowers. Now, does that make sense?
You mean flowers and the country go together?
Yes.
But we've no idea what part of the country.
Oh, maddening, isn't it? I feel so helpless.
Perhaps he ought to tell Sir Francis Mills what's happened.
Oh, I don't think Mr. Blake would like that. In any case, what could Sir Francis do? He doesn't know any more than we do. Now, let's hope that Nichols will come up with Mr. Sexton Blake's residence. Oh, yes. Just a minute, he's here. It's Jill Conway.
Yes, Miss Conway? Yes? Yes, it could be. Yes, thanks very much for ringing up. Yeah. Yes, I will. Yes, goodbye.
Well, what did she say?
She's just remembered that when Grant suggested going down to the country, he mentioned an old pub and a mill.
A mill? Well, that might help. What kind of mill?
Oh, he didn't say.
Or the name of the pub?
No, just a pub. Oh. There are thousands of pubs, but not so many mills.
Enough to make it difficult, particularly when we don't know what kind of mill.
There's a book in the governor's library on English villages. We might get an idea from that.
Yes, I suppose we can try, but no, wait a minute. This wasn't going to be just an ordinary weekend. Grant was going to the country for a purpose.
That's pretty certain. He was taking Jill Conway as a cover.
Which means there are probably Chinese living in this place, wherever it is.
So we note down the places with a mill and then phone the local police and find out if there are any Chinese in the district.
That's right. And if we can spot a place with a mill and Chinese, we've got it.
Paula, that's a brainwave. It's a long shot, but let's get phoning.
Put down that tray, 10-4, and then go. Hope the sound of the water wheel did not disturb you during the night, Mr. Blake.
That's very considerate of you, Doctor.
No doubt you are ready for your breakfast. I'll loosen your wrists sufficiently for you to eat.
A condemned man ate a hearty breakfast, eh?
We have a saying in China, Mr. Blake, that to the wise man, all experience is wisdom.
Confucius or Mao Zedong?
Neither, Mr. Blake.
It originated in the Manchu dynasty of China in 1644.
An old saying, in fact. There's a lot of truth in these old sayings, you know. Never count your chickens before they're hatched. It's quite a good one.
I fear you are allowing a false optimism to instill you with cheerfulness, Mr. Blake. You will feel differently when you have seen what I am soon going to show you, Mr. Blake.
The vampire moon.
I'm awaiting a visit from Lai Chen Yi.
Is he part of the conducted tour?
And Mr. Blake, you are either a very brave man or a very foolish one. Let me assure you...
Did you know the late Prince Wu Ling, Doctor?
I was not personally acquainted with that illustrious personage.
Wu Ling was an old protagonist of mine. On several occasions, he succeeded in getting me into a similar position to this. But he's dead, and I'm still alive.
That is something that will be rectified in a few hours, Mr. Blake.
That was a delusion that Wu Ling also suffered
from. Are you there, Doctor?
Yes, Mr. Lai Chen Yi. Yes, I am here.
I am sorry to be late. I had trouble.
Trouble?
A man was following me. I had to elude him.
What do you know about this man, Mr. Blake?
Well, nothing at all. I mean, should I?
He was watching the Golden Lotus. When I left the restaurant, he followed me.
If you are relying upon this man, Mr. Blake...
I believe you're getting rattled.
This man cannot help you. I succeeded in evading him.
You're quite sure?
Would I be here if I were not sure?
He must be furious at losing you. How did you give him the slip?
That does not matter. Can we go up to your study, Doctor? It is important that I speak with you.
We'll go at once. Sen Fu will stay with you while you finish your breakfast, Mr. Blake, and retie your hands.
Oh, don't let me put you to any trouble.
We shall return later. We'll take you to the vampire moon.
The old mill house is up at the top of Friar's Lane, sir. Big place. You can't miss it.
There's a Chinese chap living there, isn't there, landlord?
That's right, sir. A doctor or something or other. They're all Chinese up there.
We found it, Tinker.
We found the place that Grant was probably going to bring Miss Conway. But we don't know that the governor's there. Would you recognize that Chinaman if you saw him? The one with the strong spectacles, Miss Conway?
Oh, yes, I'm sure I should.
Oh, excuse me, sir, but this doctor fellow wears glasses. Mighty powerful ones, too.
Well, that proves we're right, doesn't it? Yes. Look, are there a lot of Chinese at the old mill house?
Oh, good few, miss. Though they mostly look alike to me. It's something to do with what they're growing up there, I expect.
Growing there? What's that?
Oh, I don't know, sir. But there's a mighty big kind of glass house they've put up. Oh, excuse me, sir. I'm wanted over any other bar.
That fits in with the flowers, Paula. We've just got to hope that this is where they did bring the governor.
I should think it's more than likely. Now, what are we going to do next?
We can't do very much until it gets dark. Then we can go and take a deco at this place. Miss Conway can wait here.
Oh, I'm coming with you.
It could be dangerous.
I don't care. If these people kill David, I'm going to help.
All right, Miss Conway.
You'd better call me Jill.
No, of course. Now, look, we'll have to be careful. Don't forget that they know all three of us by sight.
And there's probably a pretty good lookout. That's why it's no good till it gets dark. Did you bring your little automatic, Paul?
In my handbag. What about you?
Yes, I got mine. But we haven't got something from Jill.
Oh, I wouldn't know how to use a gun, but David taught me a bit of karate.
That's fine. This mill house is a watermill, isn't it? Which means a river of some sort.
Yes, the Creel. Why?
Well, it might be possible for me to get into the place by swimming up the river. That is, supposing the place is well guarded.
Yes, but we can't make any plans until we see what sort of place it is.
Well, it'll be a good hour before it's dark. We'll just have to be patient. What about another drink and some sandwiches?
I'll have a drink, but I couldn't eat anything.
That should go down in history. Landlord?
Come in, sir.
Same again, please, and could you rustle up some sandwiches? I'm hungry if nobody else is.
Along this path, Mr. Blake.
Nice to get a breath of fresh air after being shut up in that mill chamber. Very pleasant.
Make the most of it. You will not be able to enjoy it for long.
You really are a depressing chap, Lai Chen Yi.
Do you realize the seriousness of your situation, Mr. Blake?
Yes, but do you realize your own, Doctor?
Mine?
Your future prospects don't look too good to me.
You should be worrying about your own immediate prospects, Mr. Blake.
Please wait while I unlock this gate.
We far to go?
So this much way.
Surely this is a greenhouse.
That is our destination.
Exhibit 1, the Vampire Moon.
I trust that you will not be disappointed, Mr. Blake.
I should warn you, Mr. Blake, that although you have been freed in order to accompany us here, there's no chance of escape. I have many servants within call.
How lucky you are. Servants are practically impossible to get these days.
You are looking, Mr. Blake, at the result of my life's work. A culmination of years of research. There it is. A vampire moon. Thank you.
police, Paula. There isn't a break anywhere, and the main gate is guarded by two Chinese.
If we had some wire cutters, we could...
No good, even if we had. I bet that'd set off enough alarm bells to wake the dead.
But what can we do, then?
Now, see that culvert, Jill? Where the water gushes out?
Yes.
That must be the outlet for the part of the river that runs through the grounds.
Joining it to this part of the river?
Now, I'm going through that culvert.
But you'll never make it. He might, Jill. The water doesn't come up to the top. Well, what do we do?
Hang on here, but don't get spotted. Well, here goes.
I'll give Tinker 3 minutes' start, and then I'm going after him.
Paula, you can't.
Oh, can't I? Just you watch me.
Not very impressive, Dr. Sing Chong. Collection of toadstools.
You speak with a voice of ignorance, Mr. Blake. The fungi which you see is a unique link between bacilli and fungi. It grows in and feeds on blood. The blood in dried form which supplies its present needs is animal blood. But its true affinity is human blood. The ripe spores absorbed through the skin or by way of the respiratory system grow and multiply swiftly. The spores are microscopic. In each of these specimens, there are many millions, enough to destroy the entire populations of, shall we say, Russia, America, Britain, or all three.
You presumably have an antidote.
Once the spores have germinated, Mr. Blake, there is nothing that will stop the spread of the infection. Hence, as you see, we grow them in glass containers. But the spores can be prevented from germinating. A certain chemical in the form of a tasteless powder, taken in food shortly before the spores are disseminated, renders the bloodstream immune to their action. This powder will be distributed to the people of China in their normal food, and they will survive, as would anybody else we might wish to save.
I see. Nothing else will prevent the spores from germinating?
Only fire.
Fire destroys the spores and the parent fungi, Mr. Blake.
Presumably you have a further supply of these obscene growths, in case anything should happen to these.
No, Mr. Blake, there is no need. These are ample for our purpose, and the greatest care is adopted in their cultivation.
We have talked enough.
You have! If either of you move, I'll shoot.
Tinker!
Over there, Governor!
Don't be foolhardy. I have but to blow this whistle on myself.
I warn you!
Be careful, the fungi!
He's fallen on that container. Tinker, quick, the door and shut it. Shut the door. It's airtight. It'll keep the spores from escaping.
But we can't leave those two in there, Governor.
We've got to. We daren't risk the spores of that infernal fungi getting out.
Here come the rest of those brutes. I've winged a couple of them. Who else is that shooting? Good Lord, it's Paula.
Oh, are you all right, Mr. Blake?
Yes, I'm fine.
I think that's settled the bodyguards.
Well, thanks, both of you. Now we need petrol. Lots of petrol.
Petrol? What for?
We've got to burn the place down. It's the only way to exterminate the vampire moon.
You did a good job, Blake.
Thank you, Sir Francis.
We've got that chap, Kui, and from the papers we found at the mill house, we've rounded up the rest of the group. The Chinese embassy is falling over itself in gratitude, and so are the Russians. It must be the first time they've totally agreed about anything for years.
Most of the credit should go to Miss Dane and Tinker, Sir Francis.
Now, you all did a good job. If this red coral ball group had got away with it, well, why vampire moon, by the way?
Well, the fungi lived on blood, and they looked like full moons, round and white with a phosphorescent glow.
We'll never really know if the stuff worked. Nothing left of those two chaps, Sing Chung and Chen Ye, after the fire.
Only a few charred bones.
Was there anything you could do, Blake?
I doubt if it'll weigh on my conscience, Sir Francis.
I've finished those reports, Mr. Blake. I've got a shocking cold.
If you will wander around the countryside in your knickers, Paula.
Mrs. Bardell is nearly ready with your supper, and I hope it chokes you.
What? What is it?
Mushrooms on toast.
That story in our Sexton Blake series was called The Vampire Moon and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sexton Blake, David Gregory Tinker, and Heather Chasen Paula.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.